Neham Shigaran Sri Yatavarakalam Shigaran Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sakajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purushanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vitamscha Oman Gana Timurandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Vitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. We're finishing the last two or three verses of Bhajan Rahasyam, discussion on Chaitanya Dharpana Marjanam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's explaining the principle of Shraddha and citing different verses to strengthen our faith in Naam Bhajan and the practice of Krishna consciousness. So this verse, this is a very important verse. I think most everyone knows this verse. And if you don't know it, you should know it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he's discussing the holy name, he himself quotes this verse as a reference to show the power and potency of the holy name. This is from Brihadnaradiya Puran, which we mentioned in the course of discussion the other day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites it. It's text 35, towards the end of the chapter. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalavanasteva, nasteva, nasteva, gatiranyata. So this verse, the title of this verse is that the holy name is the only way to perfection, to attain perfection. So by hearing, the idea of hearing this verse is that, and Bhaktivinoda wants us to increase our determination and conviction in the process of Naam Bhajan. Because sometimes we may get, especially in the beginning, we may think other practices or processes might be helpful or conducive even to spiritual improvement. But that we can't avoid the holy name. The holy name is everything. And Lord Chaitanya, there's so many verses in Ved and Puran to glorify the process of chanting, glorify the holy name. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the verse that Lord Chaitanya used to induce everyone to embrace Harinam Sankirtan as the way of perfection in Kali Yuga. And so one acharya is telling, the mention of Harinam three times demonstrates the need for determination in the performance of bhakti. And by saying there's no other way, anyata, we should understand that the futility of other practices like karma, jnana, and yoga. That's what these two things. Saying Harinam, Harinam three times, we should say, yes, this is it. And this should give us, this part of the verse should give us determination and conviction to take up the holy name as our everything. Then the last part, nasteva nasteva gatiranyata, that this should, there is no other way, karma, jnana, yoga, any kind of meditation or any other system is futile, is a waste of time. And the purport here. In Kali Yuga, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna has appeared in the form of his name. Through Harinam, the whole world can be delivered. The words Harinam in this text are used three times to make people with mundane intelligence, like me, become fixed in chanting Harinam. The word Kevala, meaning only, is used to make it abundantly clear that Gyan, Yog, and Tapasya, and other activities are to be renounced. Salvation is never possible for one who disregards this instruction of the scriptures. To emphasize this, the words Nasti Eva, meaning no other way, are repeated three times at the end of the shloka. And we were describing the other day how this, each one, Nasti Eva, one Nasti Eva, Nast means to finish, or to annihilate, or to remove. So one Nast removes karma, one Nast removes gyan, and one Nast removes yoga. This is a repetition of what we mentioned the other day. And text 36 continues, and here he gives some, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is again mentioning some tips on how to develop attachment to Nam, and he cites a verse from Bhagavat Nam Komodi, and which mentions some rules and regulations that are helpful. Naktam deva chakatabir jitanidra eko niravinna ikshitapato mitabuk prashanta yad yachute bhagavati somano nasajyan namani taduti karani patet vilajaha. If your mind is not absorbed in the name of Sri Bhagavan Achyuta, then day and night, without shyness, chant those principal names that are endowed with Rati, or Bhava, such as Radha Raman, Brajavallabha, and Gopi Janavallabha. Minimize sleep, eat moderately, and proceed on the path of spiritual truth with a peaceful mind and disregard for worldly things. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is citing this verse. It mentions a few rules and regulations. And actually, what he's saying is that this verse is saying if the mind, there's no purport here in this verse, if the mind is not absorbed in the name of Bhagavan Achyuta, then we should chant principal names or Mukhyanam, which are endowed with Prem. But by the mercy, most of us, this is for someone who actually hasn't received Nam from Guru. Because to some extent, once we've taken initiation from Guru, we've received the most principal names of Krishna, Hari, Krishna and Ram, or Radha Raman. And we simply follow the order of the Guru to chant. But for someone who's not initiated into the holy name, then he may, by contacting Mukhyanam or Premnam, that will increase his attachment to Nam, Sankirtan, and purify him and lead him to the association of a realized soul from which he will hear Nam and be engaged in regular Nam Bhajan. With these principles, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is reminding us, minimize sleep, eat moderately, and proceed on the path of spiritual truth with a peaceful mind and disregard for worldly things. Text 37, this is the last text here. Last point in developing faith, that bhakti is the best process, and we need nothing else but bhakti. So he quotes here a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in relation to building Shraddha again. Sixth canto Bhagavatam, chapter 3, text 22. In other words, the topmost practice of form of religion is Nam Sankirtan, and the topmost form, which is the topmost form of bhakti. That we have 64 limbs of bhakti, then we have 9 limbs of bhakti, then Panchanga bhakti. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has explained there's Ekanga bhakti. Ekanga bhakti is Nam Sankirtan. And here's a very wonderful elucidation of this, which I believe is also in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. I think Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is saying that all the 5 limbs, Panchanga bhakti, actually are indicating the holy name of Krishna, right? Living in Mathura Vasastali, to live in Mathura Vrindavan, that is also Nam Sankirtan. Sadhu Sangha is also Nam Sankirtan. Deity worship is also Nam Sankirtan, right? And what's the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. To hear the Srimad Bhagavatam is also Nam Sankirtan, and Nam Sankirtan, this is Panchanga Bhakti. So he explains that even if you're performing Panchanga Bhakti, each one of these limbs of Panchanga Bhakti, one of them of course is Nam Sankirtan, but the other four are actually indicating Nam Sankirtan. So therefore, the five become one. So the Panchanga become Ekanga, and the Ekanga, the perfectional form of devotional service, is Nam Sankirtan, which Krishna's Kaviraj also says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Jiva Goswami also says. And it's a nice explanation. When you associate with sadhus and sadhu sangha, which is one of the five most important limbs of bhakti, then what do? They say, oh, let's have kirtan, let's chant. Or they will speak or write about the glories of the holy name. And they're always engaged in akanda kirtan, or they're chanting japa, sit with me and chant japa, chant kirtan with me. So then if you go to have sadhu sangha, invariably you'll be engaged in nam sankirtan. If you have the good fortune to live in the holy Dhamma of Navadvipa, Vrindavan, which is to one of the five limbs of devotion, Mathura Vasisthale, to reside in the holy place, then you're surrounded, as we mentioned earlier, the holy name is deposited in the holy Dham. And by the virtue of living in the holy Dham of Vrindavan, you're surrounded by Nam Sankirtan. It may not be your favorite Priya mantra, it may not be your Diksha mantra, it may be the Nimbarki. And if you live in Madhavan Colony or in Raman Reti, practically you're bombarded 24 hours a day with Nimbarki Maha Mantra, which is basically the same as ours. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe. Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. When we first came to Raman Reti, we thought everyone was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because our ears were not so clear. And after a while, I came to understand that practically every ashram in Raman Reti area is chanting the Nimbarki mantra. So, in other words, that's Nam Sankirtan, and undoubtedly. And wherever you go to the rickshawala, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Bol, and you go in the shop, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. So, everywhere Nam Sankirtan. Living in a holy Dham means Nam Sankirtan. You're faced with Nam Sankirtan. You're surrounded by greeted by Nam Sankirtan every moment. And Srimad Bhagavatam, as we already mentioned, and then Damodar Swami Maharaj was mentioning that Jiva Goswami says that the Srimad Bhagavatam, practically speaking, is a commentary or an explanation of Nam Sankirtan from beginning to end. It's full of Gitas, Gopi Gita, Viraha Gita, Pranaya Gita, the prayers of Richasura, so many prayers. All this Bhagavatam is full of prayers, and in those prayers there's so much Nam. Bhagavan Nam, Krishna Nam. So the Bhagavatam itself, again, is pointing to, directly and indirectly, the practice of Nam Sankirtan. And then the Nam Sankirtan. And deity worship, Jiva Goswami says it must be accompanied directly by Nam Sankirtan, chanting a Maha Mantra, in order for it to be perfect or accepted by the Lord, and pleasing to the Lord. And in the very process of offering articles to the Lord, you always chant Kring Krishnaya Namaha, Sring Rang Radhikaya Swaha. So you're chanting Nam. So therefore, Nam, the Ekanga Bhakti is Nam. There's no other process necessary. So this verse from 6 canto, this is Etavan Eva Loke Smin Pumsam Dharma Para Smita Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Tannama Prahanadibi. Only the worship of Bhagavan Sri Vasudev, performed through Nam Sankirtan, is called Bhakti Yoga. This alone is the supreme Dharma for the living entities. So, Bhakti Vinod has his Bengali edition of this. Bhakti Yoga, Krishna Nam, Grahanadi Rup, Paradharma Nametara Nirnita Sarup. That Nam Sankirtan is the Paradharma, the topmost religion, and performing Nam Sankirtan is the topmost limb of bhakti. So this is it. This is the perfection of religion, the perfection of bhakti, is to chant the holy name of the Lord, absorbed in Astakali Leela, and our Sarup, and rendering service therein to Radha and Krishna's divine pastimes. This is it. There's nothing more than that. And so everything we're doing is hopefully bringing us to this point. This short purport, only Nam Sankirtan is directly Bhakti Yoga, and in Kali Yuga it is the only means by which Vajrajananda can be controlled. A question may arise here. If sense enjoyment and so on, so forth, are easily attained through Nam Kirtan, why are learned persons teaching Karma Yoga? The answer is that the intelligence of Yajnavalkya, Jaimini, and other compilers of Dharma Shastras was often bewildered by Maya Devi. Yes. Their minds remained attracted to the beautiful explanations given at that time of the Rig, Yajra, and Samavedas, and they were engrossed in the various kinds of activities by which, with great difficulty, one obtains the insignificant and temporary result of attaining Swarga, the heavenly planets, I mean Swarga Mukti. This is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is alluding to this whole concept in the fourth Nadanajana Sundaram Kavitam Vajagadisha. He's saying in the fourth verse of Shikshastakam, the Kavitam, the very poetic and beautiful language of the Vedas, they indicate very attractive proposals of Swarga Mukti, lordship over the three worlds and other attainments. So this is what Jaimini Rishi and other materially tainted sages, they compiled the 20 different Dharma Shastras for the benefit of materialistic people that are attracted to such material goals. And Lord Chaitanya says that the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, he has no interest in all this Kavitam, all this flowery words of the Vedas. He has no attraction for him. The topmost Dharma is Nam Kirtan, which is easily performed, but these rishis were not able to understand this. So that's the conclusion of the first Bhajan according to the first Yama. Then this Bhaktivinoda Thakura, which we mentioned earlier, he's saying that this first verse, Chaito Dhavana Marjan, relates to faith. So we try to explain that our faith will develop by understanding the seven great treasures or gifts that are contained within the Mahamantra that Lord Chaitanya enunciates in Chaito Dhavana Marjanam. By hearing about such treasures, then that will reinforce our faith in the process of Nam Bhajan, that anything and everything that we desire to attain can be received by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The fullest perfection of life, awakening our sarup, entering the eternal service and eternal land of Radha and Krishna, everything is possible. And he explains in these eight Yuga Nams, that the Yuga Nam of Hare Krishna also represents this Chaito Dhavana Marjanam, and Hare Krishna, the first Hare Krishna, the first Yuga Nam, represents this quality of faith also. And then there's a relationship in each of these eight pastimes of the Lord with these different qualities. So he says that this Nishant Leela, Chaito Dhavana Marjanam, represents Nishant Leela. And that Nishant means the end of night. And this is when Radha and Krishna are waking up. So how does this Leela, Nishant Leela, this is 3:36 in the morning until 6 a.m. Radha and Krishna are waking up and parting company, returning to their own homes. Radharani is going to Yavat or Barsana, and Krishna is returning to Nandagaon. Secretly, Nibrita, very secretly they enter into their bedrooms. So he's saying that this Chaito Dhavana Marjanam represents Nishant Leela and represents Shraddha. And then he's explaining how Nishant Leela is related to the quality of Shraddha. And each one of these Leelas is related to one of the qualities of the Adosha, the stages of advancement and devotional service. So the first one, the first Leela, Radha and Krishna is waking up in Nidubhan after sleeping. Bhaktivinoda Thakura connects the conditioned soul, which is us. We are sleeping in illusion. Radha and Krishna are sleeping in what's called Yoga Nidra, divine, they're in divine union and they're not in illusion, they're in prema. But he makes this comparison that we are sleeping in illusion, absorbed in sense gratification. We are asleep and we are covered. And we are covered by anarthas and aparads and avidya, ignorance and offenses. And we don't know anything. We didn't know anything about serving Radha Krishna. Jeev Jago, wake up, wake up. We met Guru, Oman Ganatimarandasya. Guru opened our eyes and instilled faith in us, faith in God, faith in the holy names, and faith in the process of devotional service, serving Krishna. By the mercy of Guru, the mood of serving Krishna will come into our hearts. It's called Seva Vasana. When it comes into our hearts, we will wake up and have faith in Krishna. So, he's explaining that the sleeping souls are waking up. So this is beginning of Shraddha. When we wake up, it means our faith in God awakens and we begin to practice devotional service under the guidance of spiritual master. And Radha and Krishna, this Nishant, coming out of the darkness, they're waking up, the sun is rising, and they're waking up and going their different ways. So this is the position of the conditioned soul. He's in darkness, sleeping for life after life after life. And he's waking up, and he's going to back to his home. As Radha and Krishna returning to their homes, we wake up in the light of knowledge given to us from the spiritual master, and we begin to proceed on our way back home. As Radha and Krishna proceed on their way back home. And Radharani, on her way home, Krishna and Radharani are sometimes afflicted with some fear. They're afraid because the Kakati, the old monkey, to wake them, he says, Chatila is coming. So Chatila, as the Acharya's comments are telling us, the word Chatila means jat, means matted locks or lines of hair stuck together. So when the sun is rising in the morning, sometimes there's lines of light coming through the sky. It looks like jat. So the word jatila can mean the rays of the sun are filtering through the morning sky. So Kakati, who is actually Radharani's pet monkey, an old monkey, like you see sometimes in Vrindavan, they're all shriveled up and they're all skinny, but they're still moving with the herd because they have that social arrangement. So even the old monkeys are moving with the herd of monkeys. So they're all skinny and their backs are bent like this. And so Kakati is like that, Radharani's pet monkey. Because Radharani, she's so much compassionate for everyone. So this monkey is saying Jatila. So it can be, the rays of the sun are filtering through the clouds in the morning. Or it can mean Radharani's mother-in-law, who is named Jatila. So of course Radha and Krishna take it to mean Jatila. And so there's some fear there. So Radha and Krishna are returning home, but there's some fear on the path. Fear in their minds. So when Guru wakens us up from the slumber of Maya, and we begin on the path back home, back to Godhead, sometimes we are also assailed by fear. Different fears. Fear of Maya itself, or fear of so many fears everyone has to face. So these fears are not, they have no real substance, because as long as one stays at the lotus feet of Guru and continues to chant the holy name, then there's no fear will not have any effect on the devotee. Yad yat bhaveti swayam. Krishna, when Krishna's name is vibrated, even fear runs in, fear personified is afraid of Krishna. So this, how this develops, these leelas represent these different qualities. It gets a little bit complicated as it goes on, but this first leela of Radha and Krishna waking up, the jiva waking up, the waking of Shraddha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing this, making this presentation. Then he explains in the last verse of this section that because he's giving a bhajan manual or instructions for two kinds of devotees. One was Ajatarati Sadaka. That devotee, or that practitioner, that is not awakened bhava, intense love for Krishna, he will chant the holy name, and he will remember Krishna's leelas throughout the day and night. And one who is not awake, is called, there's Jatarati Sadaka, he has awakened Bhav, and the Ajatarati Sadaka, yes, like us, we haven't come to that platform. So then we will follow these different verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving in these chapters and try to develop those moods and follow those teachings and pray for the mercy of Bhaktivinoda in those verses, that they will help us quickly attain to the platform of Bhav. So each chapter has one verse for the Bhava Bhakta. And that verse is the meditation that the Bhava Bhakta will do in the morning time. The Jatarati Sadaka will rise at 3 o'clock in the morning, and so will the Ajatarati Sadaka. But the one who has Bhav, he will meditate on Krishna's Nishant Leela, which he has summarized here, because he wants this to be a complete manual, so the adept devotee and the novice devotee, they can keep the same book. And of course, the Bhava Bhakta, he will read these other verses also in these sections, and he will have his own ecstasies and realizations about these verses. But specifically, the last verse in each chapter is addressed to the Jatarati Sadaka, that Sadaka who has attained the level of Bhava. So he includes the passage from Govinda Leelamrita, and then he puts that same passage into Bengali with a nice translation also. So this is a description of Nishant Leela. And we also, even though we haven't come to the level of Bhava in the progress of our devotion, it is often told by different acharyas of devotion in the Gaudiya Sampradaya that even the Ajatarati Sadaka, he should chant the holy name and mix the holy name with the pastimes of the Lord. It is not prohibited, rather it's encouraged. But for the one who doesn't have Bhava, the pastimes, it's kind of like pretending to be pregnant. You know, if I put a pillow inside my sweater, a big pillow, and I make a big, you know, lump here, and I say, oh, I'm pregnant. Somebody say, no, it's not possible. Hey, you can't give birth. You don't even have the right gender, even if you have the profile or the, you know, big belly. So until we come to the level of Bhava, these pastimes that we don't have the capacity to really enter them. But what happens is like this. We're beginning devotees and we read about Nishant Leela. We may read it and remember it. And then we chant japa with full concentration. And in our mind, we try to recall. This is the first level of smaranam. It's called recollection. We just try to remember briefly what was this pastime. And we're chanting. So this pastime doesn't really take birth in our heart and consciousness. It doesn't really grow and develop and move in different ways. But it sits in our mind. It sits in our mind. And by contacting this pastime, by remembering while chanting japa, even though we haven't come to the level of bhava, some little drops come in our heart. Some little drops of attachment and attraction. Attachment and attraction for the sweet pastimes of Krishna. And the analogy that's sometimes given is that there's a story of someone who was very sick and he couldn't digest anything. His digestive power was completely destroyed. So the Ayurvedic doctor, he couldn't even digest fruit juice. He was so sick. So he couldn't digest water. So he went to the Ayurvedic doctor. He was about to die. And they said, what is the medicines? And the Ayurvedic doctor prescribed a medicine, he prescribed cow's ghee. He said, feed the patient cow's ghee with these herbs inside. And then the caretakers for that particular person, they said, you're crazy. You're a crazy doctor. If you give him cow's ghee, he'll die. He has no fire in his stomach, no digestive juices in his liver or pancreas or gallbladder. Nothing's working. He can't digest fruit juice. And you're prescribing ghee, you know, oil, fat, you know, saturated fats, and cow's ghee, not even safflower oil, saturated fats. And then the doctor said, have faith, my friend. And so they did, because there was no other recourse, because the person was about to die and nothing else was working. So what happened was he was taking that medicine, Ayurvedic medicine mixed with ghee, and he was just passing diarrhea, because he couldn't digest the ghee. He was just passing it out, taking it in his mouth and out the backside. But what was happening is that a small particle of that ghee that he was taking like 25 grams or 50 grams of ghee, drinking it with this medicine mixed in. A small particle of that ghee was sticking on his stomach and intestines with the medicine. And 99% was passing out in the diarrhea. But because that small particle, 1% of that medicine, and that 1% or 1 gram of that ghee was sticking on his intestines, gradually that was creating a healing effect, removing the disease. And the first 2 days, 1 gram was sticking, then 2 grams, then 3 grams, and after 1 month, the person was taking the ghee and started passing stool, and I mean proper digestion. So this analogy was given to explain the effect of contacting the Madhurya Rasa of Krishna. We don't have the adhikar to actually, because the Madhurya Rasa of Krishna is full of bhavas, is full of bhav and prem. So unless we actually are bhavuka or rasika, then it just passes through. we read it and it passes through. And we may read it 100 times, and then we say, I've read this pastime 100 times, but still I can't remember any of it. Because we don't have the adhikar to hold it, because this pastime is not like memorizing a line of figures or something, or a line of, or how many, the 50 states and the 50 capitals of each state in America. Because this is prakritavastu, this is transcendental. So Krishna wants these pastimes to sit in your heart, or sit in our hearts, then we have to qualify with the proper adhikar. We have to come to the level of bhava, because we can only really hold these pastimes and enter these pastimes and relish these pastimes at that level. Then we become jata rati sadaka. But as an ajata rati sadaka, he whom bhava has not awakened, if he takes the medicine of reading a pastime of Ramakrishna, then chanting with all sincerity, then Krishna, because he reciprocates with the sincerity of the devotee, he says, oh, he's really trying to absorb his mind and heart in my pastimes. But he has so far to go. Anyway, let me give 1 grain in his stomach. Let me put 1 grain. Let me stick 1 grain. So something will stick. Krishna will stick something. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, this is the bhajan. This is the nam bhajan for the jata rati sadaka. He will meditate, he will chant Hare Krishna, and as soon as he chants Hare Krishna, the door will open. As soon as he sits down to chant Hare Krishna, because Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna. And if he sits down at 3 o'clock with the Maha Mantra, and as soon as he says Hare Krishna, then he opens the 3 o'clock door. The 3 o'clock door, he opens the door into Radha Krishna. The Maha Mantra is Radha Krishna. So when you sit down and chant Hare Krishna, you open the door at 3 o'clock. Right? And then you enter into Nishant Lila. Or rather, 3:36 to be exact. He'll sit down at 3 o'clock and get prepared to enter the door. Right? Before you go somewhere, you usually get dressed and get prepared. You don't just jump out of bed and run out the door. So usually the sadhakas will get up at 3 o'clock and begin chanting japa. So when they chant Hare Krishna mantra, they're directly associating with Radha and Krishna due to the purity of their heart having attained the level of bhava. And when they chant Hare Krishna, the door to Nishant Lila opens up and they're there. And they're seeing this. At the end of night, Brindadevi, fearing the approach of day, indicates to the parrot, male and female parrot, and other birds, to make sweet sounds to awaken Radha and Krishna. A cool, gentle, fragrant breeze is slowly blowing. With charming calls, the peacocks and peahens, that means they're wives, Shuka, Sari, and cuckoos glorify Radha and Krishna's Leela. The birds start speaking. Hey, Vrijendranandan. Hey, Nikunjeshwari. When will we receive your darshan? That's what they say. Although the divine couple have been aroused by the sweet chirping of the birds, they continue to embrace each other in fear of being separated and again fall asleep, weary from amorous play. The more Brindadevi tries to awake them, the more they pretend to sleep deeply. though they do not desire to leave one another. At that time, the she-monkey, Kakati, loudly cries, Jatila, Jatila. Then Radha and Krishna awaken, filled with fear. The word Jatila means the morning rays of the sun have come, which look like matted hair, Jaka, are about to appear. But it can also mean that Radharani's mother-in-law is right nearby. The Nitya Sakis and Pran Sakis enter the Kunj. These Manjari Sakis redecorate Radha and Krishna with clothes and ornaments, concealing the signs of their amorous pastimes. Then they call the Priya Sakis and Priyamama Sakis. Kishore Kishori joke with each other, and Lalita performs their arati. Thereafter they proceed to their respective residences. Dekhiya arundaya brinda devi vyastahaya kunje nana ravakaraila shukka sari padya suni ute rara nilamani sakki gana dekhi rishta haila kalachita sulalita kakatira ravibita rara krishna satrishna aya nija nija grihi geva nibrite shayana kaila dunhe bhaji se lila smariya e lila smarana ara Gao Krishna Nam, Krishna Lila Premadan, Pave Krishna Nam. That's the version of Nishant Lila in Bengali by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This Lila is also called Kunja Bhanga Lila because Bhanga means break. They're breaking their Lila in the Kunj and they have to separate after the night-long pastimes in the Kunja. This is a translation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beautiful prayer. Dekhiya arundaya brinda devi vyastahaya. Seeing the rising sun, Brinda Devi becomes worried. So she prompts various birds to fill the kunj with sound. Hearing the poetic verses of the male and female parrots, Radha and Krishna, who looks like a blue sapphire, get up from their flower bed. All the sakis feel thrilled to see the divine couple. The divine couple look most elegant, befitting the time. But then the old monkey, named Kakati, makes a sound to frighten them. The Radha and Krishna are thirsty, sat means sat-trishna, are thirsty or eager to enjoy Cupid's sports again. They return to their own homes and secretly enter their sleeping chambers. Remembering this pastime, I worship the divine couple. Remember this Leela and sing Krishna's name, and by this you will attain Braja Gokul, the treasure of Krishna Prem, and enter Krishna's eternal pastimes. He Leela Smara Ara, Gao Krishna Nam, Krishna Leela Premadan, Pabe Krishna Dham. That's a very nice benediction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Gao Krishna Nam, sing Krishna's name, Hey Leela Smara, remember this pastime. Then you will get the Prema Dan. You'll get the great treasure of Prema and enter Krishna's Leela and attain Krishna Dham. Go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the all the struggles and trials and tribulations of chanting Hare Krishna and crossing Anartha Nivritti, becoming steady, attaining taste, becoming attached to the holy name. And then into level of bhava, this will be the content of our non-bhajan. Chanting and remembering the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna throughout the day and night. And then, that's in the beginning level of bhava, and the later level, at the higher level of bhava, not only will we be remembering the pastimes, but because we have attained revelation by the mercy of Nam Prabhu and Sri Guru, having attained revelation of our sarup, we will render service in those pastimes. And there's so many different books to describe the pastimes, and there's so many different books by acharyas to describe the services that are rendered by the pran sakis and nitya sakis, which is another way of saying the manjaris. And we were at the level of bhava, we will also render similar services in allegiance to our guru varg, in association with our Guru Sakhi and our Param Guru Sakhi, Nayanamani Manjri, and our Prabhupada. So this is something very exciting to look forward to in our bhajan. And this is what captivates the heart. They say that a man is judged by his ideal. The higher the ideal, the greater the man. So we certainly have, Lord Chaitanya has certainly given the highest ideal for every man, woman, and in this world by introducing the concept of Radha Krishna Prem Seva. There's no other acharya, incarnation of Lord has ever presented such a high ideal for the human being to attain. So this is a great gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should, the ideal that he's offering should be all of our ideal. Our ideal is this. And so a man is judged by his ideal, and a man is inspired by his ideal, and his ideal generates great hope in his day-to-day life. So it's called sadhya, the goal of life, the prayojan. Prayojan is translated as necessity. The ultimate necessity is the prayojan. So the necessity for every living entity is prem, love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, everyone's searching for love, but I want to introduce the highest possibility of love, the highest expression of love, which everyone can attain by the mercy of Nam Prabhu. So he's teaching the path of Rag Bhakti through his Senapatis and his line of Acharyas. He introduced Raghunuga Sarana Bhakti, and he gave prem as the goal of life, prema pumarta mahan. Krishna prem is the goal of life. Brajendra Nandan is the worshipful Lord. Sri Vrindavan Dham is the place of our attainment. And the Bhagavad Puran is the amalam jnanam. It's a perfect pure knowledge to help us attain that goal. So we want to read just a little bit of more about this Nishant Leela from Krishna Naika Kumudi, because we've been hearing lots of points of philosophy, and I thought we'd just read about what it would be like to sit down and chant japa in the morning time. We all have our different experiences of our morning japa. For some devotees, morning japa, it's usually between 3 and 7, devotees are chanting japa. 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. most devotees are chanting japa. And everyone has different experiences while chanting japa. Some are fighting all kinds of, wars, demons and attacking them, or so many different experiences. But certainly the acharyas, when they're chanting japa, they're absorbed in the Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna. And that's what Bhaktivinoda was doing. We told in the introduction that he would get up, take rest at 10 o'clock, and get up at 1 o'clock. Was it 1 o'clock? It was 10 o'clock. Yeah, 3 hours. No, 12 o'clock. Yeah, it was 12. Yeah. Thank you. He would take rest at 10 and get up at 12. And begin meditating on the pastimes, identifying himself in his perfect form as Kamala Mundri, and rendering service there. And sometimes he'd be meditating on the Ras Leela, and then in the middle of Ras Leela, somehow he would think that Radha and Krishna were hungry, and he would think, oh, I have to give them something. And then he would come out of his meditation, but still be absorbed in that bhava. He would lose his meditation and run into the kitchen and make puris at 2 o'clock in the morning. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as a young child, as Bhimala Prasad, he witnessed that. His father was so much absorbed in the Leela. Pastimes at dawn, Nishant Leela, 3:36 to 6 a.m. The faint light of the few stars remaining at the end of night creates a pleasant atmosphere in all directions. Under Brindadevi's order, actually I might, as you're doing the right thing exactly, I might recommend if anyone has their japa. This is one thing that we do sometimes in our sangha. So we have one devotee read from, I think many do this also. You can read pastimes on a tape and play the tape and listen to the tape and chant japa. But it's very nice that if some devotee has finished his rounds, or if some devotee maybe new devotee, we have them read the pastimes during japa period, and then we we chant japa and we listen to them. And we find that when a living person is actually reading the lila, because he's trying to contribute, his mood is, I'm reading this for the benefit of the other devotees chanting japa. So I want to give it my best reading with my most attention, and I'm trying to serve the other devotees, because we take turns. One day, one devotee will read during the japa time to other devotees, and then other devotees will chant japa like this. So, and then the next day he'll chant japa and another person will read. It's very nice if you have a group together. So while I'm reading, you can chant japa and try to remember and think of these pastime and pray that these pastimes will manifest on the screen of our hearts. Because everything is based on desire. The entire material world and the entire spiritual world, and that all relationships with Krishna are based on desire. Yeh tamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. Under Brindadevi's order, the male and female parrots sing softly to waken Radha Krishna from their blissful repose. First, a flock of female parrots swoop down from their nests to awaken Radha with many nectar-sweet words. Then all the joyful male parrots gladden Krishna by waking him with indescribable poetry. Sometimes Krishna affectionately strokes the parrots, which are beyond all illusion. The Sarikas, female parrots, speak to Radha. O moon-faced maiden, all fear has fled from your heart now that you lie in the embrace of Brajendranandan. Why do you remain sound asleep even at the end of night? At least you can move to another place in this kunj, which resounds with swarms of maddened bees. Are you not even thinking about what your elders might level against you if they catch you here? O Radhe, have you forgotten all respect and family reputation? You should not be lying in this kunj. Quickly give up this sleep, which only deprives you of amorous delights, and rise from your flower bed. Just look, the night is almost over. Please return to your home. Don't cause your relatives to suffer by staying here. Look, O playful girl, the eastern sky has turned deep crimson in imitation of your reddish lotus feet. And just see how the graceful Chakravaki, which is a female heron, quickly reunites with her lover after their sorrowful night of separation. The moon, desiring the beautiful luster of your face, now wants to give up her body in disappointment. She is plummeting from a high peak of the western mountains to end her life. Can anyone prevent this tragedy? In other words, the moon is setting. O Sudati, or Sudanti, actually it's Sudanti, girl with sparkling white teeth. A swarm of bees, drunk from sporting in the laps of the white water lilies, move restlessly toward a cluster of blooming lotuses to engage in a love tryst. Because of the time of day, the bees have become disinterested in the lilies and have increased their enchantment for the lotus flowers. O Sumuki, your dearest sakis, who have beautiful smiling lotus faces and hearts full of unlimited bliss, and who brought you to this deep, dark pastime cottage in the beginning of the spotless evening, have left their kunjas to come here to meet you. O Sumuki, please wake up and open your lotus eyes to see the effulgent faces of your sakis. They have all assembled here to serve you. Due to your passionate battle, your clothes and ornaments have fallen off and scattered here and there. Your decorations have all been smudged or removed, and your delicate body is bruised. The stars have vanished from the sky. Your pearl necklaces have fallen from your body, and the white flowers have fallen from the sephalika tree. Even though all three have lost their ornaments with the approaching dawn, only you maintain your radiant and exquisite beauty. Just as the pearls from your broken pearl necklace have fallen to the ground, the stars have vanished from the sky, and now only a few remain. Just see, the chaste Arundhati, which is the wife of one rishi, It's also the morning star. The morning star, personified as the wife of Vashishta, one of the seven sages or stars that make the Ursa Major constellation. The chaste Arundhati, astonished at seeing you sleeping so long on the chest of your lover, hides her face within the constellation of the seven Saptarishis, which is seven sages. O Shashimukhi, just look, here comes that graceful, frolicsome doe named Rangini that you fed with your own hand. Please splash the waves of your merciful sidelong glance upon her, for she always brings you joy. So this is the pet deer. Radharani has a deer, a pet deer, and her name is Rangini. And Radharani often feeds this deer with her own hand. So the parrots are telling her, look, the deer has come into the kunj and poked her head in the kunj to look at you with her beautiful eyes and innocent face. O Krishna Kanta, the minds of the deer are very pure and innocent. Thinking that your reddish lotus feet are tender leaf sprouts, Rangini is trying to taste them. Even though your sakis try to shoo her away with their lotus hands, she does not retreat. So Radharani's pet deer comes into Nikunj, and Radha and Krishna are sleeping on a flower bed, and Radharani's lotus feet are at the end. And they're very beautifully, very reddish, naturally reddish on the bottom, and also they have lac dye, this red dye. And they're very red, and the deer comes in, and he sees the reddish feet of Radharani. They're very tender, very soft. And the deer is thinking, oh, these must be some red buds. When a leaf is curled up, it's called a leaf bud before it opens, and often it's a little bit of red tinge. So the deer is thinking, oh, this is some food. This is some leaf bud. So the deer goes up and starts licking Radharani's feet, licking her feet as if to eat the leaf buds. And of course, her licking Radharani's feet is acting as a massage to awaken Radharani. Because generally, Rati Mandri, or rather, Rupa Mandri is massaging Radharani's feet to when she falls asleep or when she wakes up. So now Rangini has come in and started licking the tender leaf sprouts of Radharani's feet. It's a very wonderful scene for meditation. O Shashimukhi, this playful doe longs to taste the remnants of your food and the water that has washed your lotus feet. But because you have not glanced upon her, she is grief-stricken and sadly gazes at your moon-like face. Please open your eyes and cast your sweet glance upon this poor doe who depends on you for her very life. O Radhe, look, playful Hari is measuring the width of the innocent, love-filled eyes of the doe and comparing them to yours. To remove any doubts of their similarity, Shyam compares both by using a string of spotless pearls, saying, very good indeed, very good indeed. In other words, during their love sports in the evening, Radharani's pearl necklace became broken, and there's a small piece of it scattered to the side of the flower bed. And when a deer, Rangini, comes up and is staring, first looking Radharani's feet and then looking towards Radharani, waiting for her glance of mercy, then Krishna picks up a piece of broken Radharani's pearl necklace and he sits up and leans over and puts it up against the eye of the doe, this female deer, and he measures it. And then he's saying, oh, indeed, because those eyes are very elongated. By nature, they're very elongated and very broad and wide. So he's saying, oh, and then he puts it over to Radharani. He says, oh, indeed, Radharani, you are a doe-eyed gopi. You really are a doe-eyed gopi. I can see specifically. I'm measuring the width of the Rangini's eyes. The doe's eyes are 10 pearls wide, and your eyes are also 10 pearls wide, because this phrase is often used, doe-eyed gopis. So this is what Kavi Karnapur is saying. He compares both. To remove any doubts of their similarity, Shyam compares both by using a string of spotless pearls, saying, very good indeed. In other words, Radharani's eyes are even bigger, that's what he's saying, because they say doe-eyed gopis, but Radharani's eyes are even more elongated. Speaking in this pleasant way, the love-intoxicated Sarikas, female parrots, try to waken Sri Radhika. After they stop speaking, the parrots and other blissful birds fly into the kunj to offer the respects to Sri Krishna. The male parrots, eager to serve Krishna, tried to wake him by uttering sweet sounds and speaking beautiful words that are cheerful, pleasing, soothing to the ears and mind. Without hesitation, they sing in sweet voices, speaking attractive words full of deep love and affection. There's actually so much philosophy. Whenever there's Leela Vichar, then there's also Tattva Vichar. In Tattva Vichar, there may not be Leela, but in Leela, there's so much Tattva. So, according to what one can see, one can speak on Tattva even in the course of Leela. Because you see here, without hesitation, they sing in sweet voices, speaking attractive words full of deep love and affection. It says here that the male parrots, eager to serve Krishna, try to wake him by uttering sweet sounds and speaking beautiful words that are cheerful, pleasing, and soothing to the ears and mind. So this is a very nice description of japa, Hare Krishna japa and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because when we're chanting in the morning, we can also think, oh, I'm trying to please Krishna with my chanting of the Mahamantra. So what's Krishna doing at this time of the morning? In a general way, without being specific. We say, oh, when I'm going to Mangalartik, I just woke up and we opened the curtains. Well, Krishna is also just waking up. And he's giving me his darshan. I'm seeing him. He's in his flower kunj. He's in the temple. And Sampujaya is offering a ghee lamp to Radha and Krishna during Mangalartik. As we mentioned earlier, well, down the road, Lalita Sakhi in Niriban, she's also offering a ghee lamp at the same time. And down the road, the parrots are singing so nice. They're singing like this. And they're uttering sweet sounds, speaking beautiful words. They're cheerful, pleasing, and soothing. So when we're singing for Krishna's pleasure, for his happiness, we should also be singing very cheerfully and very pleasingly to soothe his ears and mind. Right? It's like sometimes people say, "Hey!" It's like, that may be sometimes, that's like grinding, you know, it's like an electric grinder, a nut grinder japa or something, you know, when you grind nuts or you spices in a spice grinder, and we call it spice grinder japa, that would be a good title for it. You know, then you have like powdered turmeric or something. So maybe that's what's needed for that individual. Because medicine is different for different folks, but seems here when Krishna is waking up, these are the type of sounds that the parrots are making. Sweet sounds, beautiful words that are cheerful, pleasing, and soothing to the ears and mind. Without hesitation, they sing in sweet voices, speaking attractive words full of deep love and affection. So we should be singing Krishna's holy name full of deep love and affection. Ah, when it is time for the skilled to perform a task, there is no confusion. The sukhas sing, O ocean of good qualities, O beloved of Radha. Now the female parrots were attempting to waken Radharani, and they sang so many things. Now the male parrots are trying to waken Krishna. O guna nidhi, ocean of good qualities, O beloved of Radha. O sun that reveals the lotus of Braj, O jeweled mountain peak of artistic genius, glory unto you. O Master, what are you thinking as you lie here in the kunj, even though the night has ended? Why does that flower bed seem so attractive to you when you know it is time for your family to awaken? Look, within the flower-filled forest, a swarm of drunken young bees have risen from sleep and now sport in a cluster of lotuses. Who in the world would not be infatuated with such a pleasant time of day? In one place, the white water lilies' faces are sad, while in another place, the blue lotuses are smiling brightly. Somewhere, lovers are separating, and somewhere else, lovers are meeting. Is it not time only that determines one's happiness or distress in any instance? You are the knower of time, the destroyer of all suffering, the friend of everyone, and an ocean of good qualities. Even though this soft bed of flowers may seem like the pinnacle of pleasure to you, still, for your own good, you must rise and depart. O Sundara, thinking that you are safely sleeping in your bedroom, Mother Yashoda has not been concerned. But now that But now that it is time to awaken you, motherly affection will quickly bring her to your bedside. One peacock, awake and separated from his mate, is aware of the time, so he wails, "Kaw, kaw," in a sweet voice. He has come here just to wake you up. How could any intelligent person give up the auspicious time for his service to you? Impressed by your beautiful bodily luster, this peacock shines with boundless love for you. He does not lose his tail feathers, even in the autumn season, but rather his luster increases. Can anyone surrender to your lotus feet be distressed at any time or place? This intelligent and joyful peacock with a beautiful blue throat eagerly spreads his tail, which glistens like a mosaic of glittering jewels. In this way, he pleases you every morning as you look on with your delighted gopis. So this is Krishna's morning television. People in the Western countries, they wake up and turn on the television, their color television, to see so many color things. So it all comes from Krishna Leela. The peacock comes in, Krishna, and it, probably it's his pet peacock named Tandavik. He comes in and spreads his tail and his beautiful blue throat. And Krishna looks, oh, so beautiful. Oh, fortunate one, may victory be yours. I offer my obeisances. Listen, after watching you sleep for so long, the rooster's body has swollen, that's the chicken, male chicken. The rooster's body has swollen with bliss, and now he clucks loudly to wake you. When the appropriate time arrives for one's personal service, a good servant is always happy and prepared. In this way, Sri Radha awakens after hearing the sweet, charming words of the Sukhas and Sharikas. Shortly later, Sri Krishna also awakens, being satisfied with his happy repose. As they discard their drowsiness, Radha Govinda open their eyes simultaneously and cast wonderful sidelong glances at each other. Overwhelmed with desire, they become so disturbed that it impedes their vision of each other and makes them very unhappy. So this is a type of prema vaichitya. Due to the strong embrace of their arms, Radha and Krishna's bodies become one. Under the influence of Cupid, they again savor the incomparable bliss of the previous night's battle of love. Cupid, who carries a bow of flowers, uses the many jeweled needles of their bodily hairs standing erect in ecstasy, and the long, colorful thread of their ardent passion to sew together their effulgent bodies in a very rare and special union. It's an extremely beautiful, poetic description of their pastime. When Radha and Shyam simultaneously yawn, the glitter of their teeth fills the atmosphere with indescribable peace. As they gaze upon each other, it appears that they are offering Mangala Aarti to each other with the shining of their love-filled eyes. So when we're offering a ghee lamp, which is shining with flame, we should think that the shining flames of Radha and Krishna's hearts, which are burning in pure love for each other, that flame of their love in their hearts is coming out of their eyes, and they're looking at each other with their loving eyes. And as their loving eyes peruse each other's transcendental forms, they are in effect, with their loving glances, offering arti to each other with the ghee lamps of their eyes. This is what Kavi Karnapur is telling. They are offering mangala arti to each other with the shining of their love-filled eyes. While Radha Shyam tightly embrace each other, the fire of love rages within their hearts. The heat of that fire transforms into tears of grief, which begin to flow from their eyes when they anticipate the approaching pain of separation. Because as you know, water is produced from fire, right? Third canto Bhagavatam, creation. So the fire of their love rages, and they're thinking, oh, soon we have to separate, and that creates some unhappiness. And then that fire in their heart transforms into tears coming in their eyes, that we have to separate. Moving slowly as if intoxicated, Radha Shyam languidly sit up in bed and conscientiously tie their undergarments. Unable to bear their impending separation, Radha Shyam become extremely afflicted and can neither stand up nor move from the charming kunj because of the unbearable weight of their sadness and fatigue. All glories to the enchanting eyes of Radhika as she slowly rises from sleep. Her beautiful blue eyes, lazily rolling about, resemble a pair of restless Kanchan birds or two blossoming lotus flowers filled with the Madhvika nectar of her tears. The attractive dark eyes of Shyam shine brightly behind his fluttering eyelashes. Filled with the nectar of his blissful resting pastimes, Shyam's eyes look like two lotus flowers surrounded by a swarm of bees appearing as his curly black hair. As the eastern horizon turns as red as shiny gunja seeds, the divine couple leave the forest grove. Radhashyam's beautiful bodies glow with victory from the previous night's battle of love. Moving through the cover of darkness, they gaze at each other with shy, sidelong glances. Radhashyam's love bed is marked in various places with reddish spots of kumkum and sindur, making it appear as though drops of blood have fallen from the wounded enemy named separation. A flower garland lies like a broken bow, and a crushed necklace appears like a severed bowstring. That mad elephant named Cupid, the king of amorous sports, has also left marks of musk and cudgel here and there. Radha's sakis and mandris inspect the battlefield of arrows with great delight, each placing the other in his heart, each considering the other to be the priceless treasure of his life, each continually bathing in the other in the flood of the sweet nectar of love, and each incapable of bearing a moment's separation from the other. Radhashyam run through the forest with soft steps as they return to their homes. Due to confusion, Radhashyam unconsciously dress themselves in each other's clothes. Radhika dons Shyam's yellow cloth, and he wears Radha's blue cloth. They walk through the forest with their arms gently resting on each other's shoulders. Radhika Krishna Chandra, valiant but tired warriors in Cupid's battle, toss in waves of fear as they walk along the forest path, thinking that they may meet their slanderous elders. In a very solemn mood, they carefully watch from the corners of their eyes. No one saw them in the kunj, in the forest, or on the pathway. Because of the naturally affectionate quality of Ladini Shakti, Radhashyam delight the eyes of their gopi friends. Therefore, even a dangerous walk home is another pleasure excursion for the divine couple. At the conclusion of the sacrifice to Cupid, Radhashyam performed the auspicious Avabrita bath. The happy and charming divine couple then return to their individual homes and sleep for the remainder of the night. Just as the grievous arrow wounds of a warrior can be cured by an expert physician, in the same way, the various love marks which appear on the transcendental forms of Radhashyam during their amorous affairs become directly manifest within one following the mood of their love. That's if someone has Tadatmika Bhav and at the level of Bhav. So this is Kavi Karanpur's explanation of the Nishant Leela, which is the substance of meditation for the Jatarati Sadhaka while performing Nam Bhajan. And now we have 15 minutes. We can, if there's any questions, or we can start with the second shloka, Nam Namakari Bahoda Nicha Sarva Shaktis. Some question? Everyone's in the Nishant Leela.
I'm just wondering how instruction to just hear the name instead of to simultaneously hear in the pastime of the chant.
All instructions are good, and they have to be it. All the instructions, different acharyas are giving different instructions, because the name, just hearing the name, Bhakti Santa Saraswati explains, the name itself will bring one to the level of purity where pastimes will automatically manifest, and that of course is the level of bhava. So just hearing the name is actually the sum and substance of Nam Bhajan, because the name is hearing the name attentive, not just hearing the name, but hearing the name with all attention and all affection and all submission, with all surrender and with sambandha gyan. These are also parts of just hearing the name. because if that's what Bhakti Santa Saraswati, when he says just hear the name, it also means all these things. So some people might say, well, just hear Hare Krishna, I'm just hearing, but that hearing has to be backed with these elements of submission, with this sambandha gyan, with attention. That's why it's listed as the key offense is inattention. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from inattention, all the other offenses take birth. It is the root cause of the other 10 offenses, is inattention. So, Srila Prabhupada, and some, you'll see, even an acharya like Srila Prabhupada will say, just hear the holy name. And then somewhere else will say, when chanting the holy name, one should think of Krishna's pastimes. There's one letter like that. So one has to actually follow the instruction in relation to Nambhajan as received from a spiritual master. Again, the detail and the principle. The principle is to chant Hare Krishna without offenses and very attentively. And one's own, the name itself will bring one to different levels of chanting. If one is hearing attentively, then Nanprabhu will actually bring about different types of meditation when one's chanting the holy name. But we're hearing some instructions from our Mahajanacharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. For example, mantra archa chintata. One should think of the meaning of the holy name when chanting. So Prabhupada also is saying that. He's saying that the holy name means this, O Mother Hara, O Energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani. That's mantra artha. That's the meaning of the holy name. So some people they jump up and down and say, just hear the holy name. That's true. You should just hear the holy name. And you can ask them when they say that, well, that's all, just hear the holy name? Nothing else? Nothing else is required? Because if you just chant and hear the holy name with attention, it may take a long, long time before you get perfection. The holy name is Krishna, but if you're very sincere, just hearing the holy name will bring perfection. But all the acharyas say that these other elements must be added even at the level of just hearing the holy name. Sambandha gyan must be a foundation of relationship and knowledge and understanding. Sharanagati must be there. Attention must be there. We must avoid the 10 offenses. There are actually many elements that go into even just hearing the holy name. Isn't it? Because if you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the person, and he's making offenses because he's not even aware. We have to become aware. Prabhupada often cites in Madhya Lila chapter 15 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion about, in one purport, I believe it's chapter 15, where he's discussing about initiation, where the holy name doesn't wait for initiation. It doesn't require any initiation. The holy name will do everything. It doesn't like other mantras require initiation. Gopal mantra, Kam Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri, must hear in parampara from Guru. But anyone can chant Hare Krishna. But in the purport, he's telling that the example of all the acharyas is generally they receive the holy name from some guru. Because in some rare cases, like one in a billion, someone could take the holy name, receive that maha mantra, and sit on some island somewhere, or sit alone somewhere, and simply by chanting Hare Krishna attain perfection. But even then, the acharyas say that rare person who would just take the holy name and chant, he probably, in his previous life, had developed so much sukriti and had so much sadhusanga and already had so much knowledge, sambandha gyan, and moods of surrender and moods of sincerity and fixity of mind and ability to be ekagrita, attentive to the holy name, that was all in the background. So therefore in this life, he simply got a mantra card somewhere, chant Hare Krishna and your life will become perfect. So he sat down, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he became perfect. So it's possible, but that's not the general way. Because generally most people are full of ignorance and offenses, and they need to be guided, and they need that connect with a devotee who will pour down upon them the mercy of Krishna. Because the devotee is the reservoir of mercy, he's a Kripa Shakti Murti. So he will bathe that new chanter with his mercy, and by that mercy, very quickly, that chanter of the holy name will enter into the mysteries of chanting of Nam Bhajan and be able to chant properly. Because without without that mercy coming from, without that mercy and guidance of a guru, one's approach to the holy name may be incorrect, one's practice of the holy name may be faulty, and therefore his chanting of the holy name will be, it will take a long, long time to get perfection. So generally, everyone's encouraged to hear the holy name from a realized soul and chant under his shelter and his protection, his guidance. This is the recommended process. Some other point? Another Srimati? Or Maharaj?
I was thinking that along what you're saying, it's just a fact that the consciousness flows to that which we are attached to. So attention will come from love. So I think what you're saying, if someone's just imbued with love, their consciousness will just flow right to the name, and then the whole spiritual world will open up. And others, in different ways, their attraction or attachment can be invoked. Right. And it'll help his attention. So I just would think that the ultimate judge is what invokes your devotion and helps your consciousness flow towards the holy name. Yeah. And for one person, if that's distracting, then don't do it. For another person, if it's...
Is that when you're saying that, you mean thinking of pastimes is distracting him?
Yeah, if somehow it either his level, his nature, but if another person, it's actually invoking attachment, and moving his consciousness towards, or something like that, or chanting of like you said, Bhaktivinoda, you were giving a very nice example of the verses that Raghunath Das Goswami, and you said that mix your mind and heart with the verse, so that may invoke
attachment to the name
and like you said
absorption.
I mean in your book, it's all Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. There's just many ways to help you enter.
I think that's Srimati. I think you have something to say. Maybe if you have a question, or you want to continue this same point, or you had it in your hand.
Srila Swami said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati entered into Nishantavira. He was absorbed in the Radha Shyam's embrace, speaking in terms of Mahakali. So we hear many times this kind of thing. So I just wanted to hear from you whether. On what basis are they saying that? They said that the sort of Nambhaka, when he attains Vastu City, he's actually entering into that particular time, pastime, I suppose.
What was the last part? I heard the first part, I didn't hear the last part. What were you saying? A person at the level of Shudanam, what were you saying in the last part?
A person who attains Shudanam and enters into Vastu City.
Generally, this is a technical point. But usually, Vastu City is when we attain Sarup City, realize our spiritual form, although we're still in this material body, in this life, in this world. And Vastu City is something when we take birth in Vomra Vrindavan, then the Vastu City is developed there. And then we leave Vomra Vrindavan and go to the spiritual world in that Vastu City. This is a technical point.
Like my understanding from what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that Vastu City means that you've been coming and going in service, and then one day the Shakti is serving and he says, well, why don't you stay? The servants are nice. That's called death here.
Yeah, sometimes it's said like that. But someone who has attained a level of prem, which obviously they're chanting Shudanam, and they've come to the threshold of prema in this body, while they're at that level of prema, they're doing smaran or meditation, and then it's called lila pravesh. They enter into the astikali lila of Krishna in their spirit, in their sarup city, and they're doing service over there, and then they're absorbed in that, and they pass hours and hours of the day, and then they leave that meditation and they come back to this world and maybe converse with the devotees, maybe get some classes, do some parikrama or something in this world. And then again they sit for meditation and again there's lila privation, they enter into the lila. And what you're saying, and this is, at a certain point they don't want to come back to this world anymore. And then they give up this body and then take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, and that's called death. Well, that certainly is true. No, they're not entering aspect. They're not entering directly because, as is told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gita Mala, as a sadhaka who has attained siddha in this life and they're at the level of prema, which is perfection, and are meditating on lila, then they're entering the lila. This lila is called lila. They're entering the lila and rendering service there. But when they leave, and then that's, they're 12 and a half years old, or so-and-so mandri, they're rendering service. But when they, this is an interesting thing, when they leave this world, and they take birth from the womb of a gopi in Bhoma Vrindavan, where Krishna's prakat lila is happening, then they're not in the lila. They're actually growing up. And they're going to the Yamuna, and they're carrying water in their head, and they're singing the path. It almost appears, again they're doing bhajan. Again they're doing non-bhajan. But now they're only singing Bhakti Lila Kirtan. It's called Lila Kirtan. They're not so much chanting Hare Krishna. And they're growing up. And practically speaking, one can see that when one will take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, for example, if one attains perfection in Madhurya Prem, realizes his Mandri Sarup, when he takes birth in Bhoma Vrindavan and Krishna's visible prakat pastimes somewhere in the material world, he won't actually even have darshan of Krishna for 12 years. So there's no question of, you know, and maybe it's not so, there's no question of actually directly, it's not like you turn off the lights here and turn on the lights there. Again, because there he has to go to Vishakha Devi and learn singing, he has to go to Lita Sakhi, and he has to go to school again, and he has to have classes. And she has to grow up. And while she's growing up, of course, she has this Krishna Prem is already there. But that Krishna Prem has to develop in the Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Mahabhav, like this. And that can only develop by teaching. Just like Krishna had to learn from Ramananda Roy and Swarupa Damodara, he had to learn all these aspects of Radharani's Prem in the form of Mahaprabhu. So the sadhaka, he takes birth from the womb of a gopi, he grows up, he's going to collect water, and he's absorbed in smile, remembering Ramakrishna, singing like a madness, because Prem is a certain madness, so he's already in the level of Prem. So she's crying out, and then at some point, then his Guru Sakhi, who's already there, established in that realm and doing service, comes along, like Ananga Mantri. When will Ananga Mantri come along the footpath of Sri Rupa Mantri? The songs are there. And they will take, and they will say, oh, Sakhi, what are you doing? This Sakhi is 12 years old. She's ripe. She's ready for service. What are you doing sitting here? Now the divine couple. So now that means after growing up for 12 years, going and collecting water, bringing back your house, making cow dung patties, cooking chapatis, all these things like you see in a village. And at the same time, you're always singing about Radha and Krishna like so many girls do in the village. During the different times of day, they're singing, now Krishna's coming back to the cows, now Krishna's going to take bath in Yamuna. They do this in the villages. They sing these Brajbhava songs. So we'll do like that. And then for 12 years, we won't even see our guru. Be growing up as a little girl on the bridge. And then, okay, now you're old enough, now you know you can read and write and you know your ABCs, then my Guru Sakhi, Nayana Mantri, when will I see Nayana Mantri come along the footpath and Prabhupada in his Mantri form, they will take me by the hand, oh yes, now you're ready. Now I'll take you to Vishakha and I'll introduce you to the Vishakha Sakhi and she'll teach you the art of singing in the rest lila, how to sing with proper rag and tal. And now you go to Lita Sakhi, you have to understand the eye movements of Radharani and what the flow of her heart, what the different bhavas and moods that she's going to experience and what seva you'll have to do at that time. There's so much learning has to go on. We're going to be carrying notebooks with us into the spiritual world, you know, with pens and papers or maybe a palm tops or something. This is how I understand it. So this is a very sweet note to end on. and entering the spiritual world. Yes, Mother Nishrina. I believe so, yeah. They don't exactly wake up, they don't exactly wake up at 3:36, but the waking up path, the idea of waking up begins at 3:36.
So when all this is going on, and at the end you said they sleep again till they get up.
Yes, they, because as far as the mother-in-laws and mothers and fathers are concerned, Radharani took rest about 9 o'clock and Krishna took rest about 9 o'clock and they were safely locked in their bedrooms and their palaces and guards were left outside and everything, all was well. And then the mother-in-law and the mother and father took rest and that was that. Our son is sleeping in his room, the guards are outside and everything is wonderful. But Krishna goes out through a trap door and spends the whole 6 hours of the night with Radharani and Radharani sneaks out. So then they come in and sneak in their bedroom. And they come in, the other scriptures are saying they come in and they cast, Krishna comes into his nandagam. He looks very, I forget the word, but he looks at the bedroom door of his mother and father. Oh, have they got up yet? And he sees it very tightly shut. And he jumps in and they pretend to sleep. Practically speaking, Krishna comes back to nandagam at 5:59 in the morning, 5:59 a.m., jumps in bed, pulls over covers. Then at 6 o'clock, Purnamasi and Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they start coming in the door. Oh, Krishna, oh, why are you sleeping so, you're so deeply sleeping, wake up, pronounce Purnamasi, he holds his finger, boy, I'm really tired. You know, you're not even lying there for 1 minute. He's in 1 minute pretending to sleep. So he's like, he's pretending, so he's like double sleeping. He's really sleeping with Radharani. He takes rest. Krishna takes rest about 2 p.m. every night. And he sleeps for an hour and 36 minutes. So at 3:36, that's why he doesn't jump up immediately at 3:36. It takes a while. Basically, he gets up right before sunrise, which, for example, today is 6:30, 6:27 to be exact. Sunrise, so it takes him 3 hours to get out of bed. He would never make the bhakta program. Krishna could never be in the bhakta program. Like, okay, everyone get up from Mangalarati. Okay, and then about 3 hours later you get out. So Krishna starts at 3:36 and that's 3:30 and at 6:30 or 6:25 he zips off to Nandagam. Because the lotus of Braj, as you know, it's like this, then everything is close. When the lotus closes, everything is very close together, all the places, and when the lotus opens, everything's far apart. So for the relatives, everything's far, the parents, it's very far away from Nibbana. It would take them a long time to get there and catch them, even if they tried to. But when Radha and Krishna have to return home, then the lotus closes, and they step from one petal to another. It's like stepping from one stone to another stone. They step out of the kunj and step into the bedrooms, although it's 45 kilometers away. It's only one step. This is Sandini Shakti, transcendental arrangement. Bhajanasyam ki Srila Prabhupada ki. So tomorrow, by the mercy of the Lord, we'll begin verse 2.
Nice to meet you.